Good to be with everybody today. I have been preaching here and there at different places, but the place I love to come most is here. The people I love to be with most are the people that are here. And Whitney just said, careful, this is live stream. Careful is not something I do well. Amen. It's good to be with you here today. I'm always thankful for opportunity to preach. And one of the biggest things that gives me purpose in life is to serve the Lord and especially to share the word of the Lord. Wonderful presence of the Lord here today. This is why we meet, to be with Jesus. Jesus said, if two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Just two or three. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about today. I want us to just meditate this morning on seeking God's face. And so turn in your Bibles with me today to Psalms 24. There's some scriptures I just want to get in place. Psalms 24, we'll jump over to Psalms 27. I think Psalms 107, didn't have this on my thing, I just want to share a scripture from there. Maybe I'll do it right off the bat here, make it easier. Let's stand to honor the word of the Lord. Not Psalms 107, Psalms 105. Psalms 105, verses 4 and 5, verse 4. We'll just do verse 4, keep it short. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face forevermore. So that comes as a commandment of the Lord. Psalms 24. Well, let's do Psalms 27 first. And this is a Psalm of David. It's about his own life, primarily. It's a personal psalm. I want to read verse 1, and then we'll jump down to verse 7. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face will I seek. I love that verse. I'm going to read it again. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. I think God might be speaking that to people here this morning. He's saying, seek my face. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Now let's go to Psalms 24, and we'll read the whole psalm. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully? He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Selah. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your people who have gathered, Lord, to worship you and to experience you, to hear your voice, to see your face. We ask that you would reveal yourself. Draw our hearts near to you, God. Open our hearts to pursue you, to seek you, to find you, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin with this statement this morning. There is nothing in your life, in my life, more critical to all things that concern us than seeking the face of God. Whatever it is in our life, good or bad, whatever we're struggling with, whatever guidance we're seeking, just want to get some things done in a day, seeking the face of God is where it begins. Seeking the face of God, knowing that God is leading us, is guiding us, knowing that the love relationship is continuing, knowing that we can hear his voice, knowing that we can see him and see his guidance in our life. Let's look at the context of these two psalms that we read. The first one, as I said earlier in Psalms 27, it's a personal psalm about David and his relationship with the Lord. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? In other words, there's nobody to fear. Like Jesus said, do not fear man, but fear God, who is able to cast your soul into hell. To honor him, to respect him. And I think it goes into literally being afraid to break his heart, break his commandments, to be away from him and away from his presence. So we don't want to do that. We should fear that. Sometimes we teeter on the line a little bit too much. So this is a psalm that is personal. And it is about also about him and the dwelling place of God, the tabernacle of God. I love this one verse in verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It is a good thing. When they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Why? Because the presence of the Lord is there. A meeting with God is there. A time with God is there among the people of God who know him and love him. There's nothing like that in all the world if we could just grasp the meaning of that. This idea that I just was with a young man yesterday. You know, I asked him, he said something about prayer. And we were selling him a car. And I said, do you know the Lord? First I said, do you pray? Then, do you know the Lord? Oh, yes, I know the Lord. I was raised Southern Baptist. He lives in Toledo. He was from Kansas. And then he said, I need to find a place in Toledo to worship God, to go to church. Well, he was out of church. Knew deep in his heart he needed church, a place to seek God's face, a place to meet with God with other people. I just encourage him, yeah, you need to do that, you know. But he had that heart for but so many today. One person in the midst of millions, probably, millions and millions of people in our country and around the world who say, I love Jesus, but I don't like the house of his dwelling. It doesn't work. So if you just happen to come to church today, I'm looking around, I see mostly familiar faces. But if you just happen to come to church and you go, you know, make this church your house where you meet with God. And if it can't be this one for someone, find some place. Never get to the place where you say, I don't need to be in the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. It's so precious. So precious. I don't care what you've been through. No excuses. And it's there we can meet with God. When you said, seek my face, my heart, this becomes personal. So in the midst of the congregation, okay, you'll notice in Psalms 24, it's he speaking to Jacob as a generation. This is Jacob, the generation of those that seek him. So God is both concerned with us individually, and he is concerned with us corporately, as a generation, as a group, as a people, because he loves not just this person, he loves his people. You know, so many people, and I agree with the statement, if it was just for me, Jesus would have died on the cross. You know, he would have done that, and I believe that. But that's not where it ends at all, because it isn't just for you. It's for everybody, and everybody is important in his family. And that's what he's doing in this earth. He's calling a chosen generation, a chosen people, a special people that he loves to himself, to meet with him, to know him, to experience him, to hear his voice, to see his face. And it's in the context, too, of the church that we hear his voice and see his face. It's in the context. Now, the prophets spoke of old, and there is no private interpretation. Remember that in Peter? No private interpretation of any word. It's in the context of his people. And if you study know the Bible, how it came to pass, it was in the context of his people. Okay. That's getting close to the introduction. Help me, Lord. Old habits die hardly, you know. This is a psalm, a prophetic psalm, Psalms 24. I want to go to that now. Of God calling his people to seek his face, a generation. And notice it says, this is Jacob, a generation of those that seek him, who seek your face. And it's a prophetic psalm about how one day, if you look at the end of it, lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you everlasting doors. What is that? The King of glory shall come in. It's a prophetic psalm about when Jesus has come back to this earth and quelled the battle of Armageddon, and then comes to Jerusalem, and will enter the gates of Jerusalem, and then enter the eastern gate of the temple of the Lord. And that eastern gate, there is no eastern gate there right now. But it will be shut until Jesus comes in. Come in. The Lord of glory will come in that gate, and he will rule Jerusalem. He will rule from the temple of God. He will rule the nations from that place. He will come in, be in his rightful place, and nations will come to worship at that temple. Wouldn't it be cool if some of you and I got to go there? I mean, we'll be at that point. I'm trusting that we'll be raptured, be with the Lord, and certainly we'll be around that glorious setting. Powerful. But a part of what brings that about, and part of what God is doing in these last days, he's been doing this for over 50 years. It's just been culminating and building. He has gathered a people to himself that will worship him in truth, spirit and truth. He is gathering the bride of Christ, and several things are happening with her. Number one, she is praising the Lord more and more. Praise in these last 50, 60 years has just been building and building and culminating. And it will culminate till the rapture of the church. That's all these old and new hymns and choruses and songs. That's what it's about. New and old. It's all about praising Jesus, giving honor and glory to him, calling him out of the heavens to himself because we love him. Can somebody say amen? If you love Jesus, you praise him. That's just what you do. And then prayer. Praise and prayer go together. Like love and marriage and a horse and carriage and that kind of stuff. Prayer and praise. When you love him, you praise him. When you love him, you seek his face, you pray. This is Jacob, a generation of those who seek him. That's what God is doing in these last days, building up a generation that longs to seek him. You can't seek him without praising him. You can't find him because you enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And so that's why a worship prayer night is so, you know, so fitting, so appropriate, so powerful. I love those nights. I'm going to be there tonight, the Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise and nothing happens exceptional. I'm going to be there. I encourage every one of you, come, meet with the Lord. Just come to seek his face. Come to be with him. Selah, think about that. We are coming to that day. Our hearts should be stirring to worship, to praise, to seek, to find. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean to seek the face of the Lord? The word panim is the word face. And the idea is that when you seek the face, you are pursuing, you are reaching out and finding the place that is where he is, in his presence, or to be in front of him, to be in the front of a face of a king. You would come before his throne and before his face, and eye contact could be made. I'm looking, getting eye contact right now. It's so important to us in so many ways. That's why it's dangerous to text too much. Because you could get the wrong messages. This day of Facebook and texting and these messages that come out, you know, and the relationship issues that have been hurt. Why? Because the face is not with the, very often it's with the face is not with the message. And you don't have to present your face with the message. So you can just type it up. That's what I think. But so often we would put something different when we were eye to eye, face to face, wouldn't we? This is, sometimes it's like talking behind someone's back. Be careful what you do with those things, friends. What? Don't put down on a text or on Facebook something you wouldn't say eye to eye, face to face. Because very often our expressions are softer, more understanding. Why? Because when you get the eye, you get the heart, right? And whatever made you mad when you were about to text something or when you see someone, you might say, maybe that wasn't in their heart when they did this or did that or whatever expression they had. Maybe that just a misunderstanding of mine. Maybe what I saw on Facebook, what I was previously texting, whatever, you know. So important. Sometimes we don't, you know, sometimes we blast through what we see on the mind and eyes, don't we? In the heart. We just blast through that in person, you know, and we're out there with something that shouldn't be said or shouldn't be done. All that to say, the face is so important to communication. And we want to see the Father's face. It reminds me of Moses. If you read the scriptures in the Pentateuch, and the face of God, it says that there was no one like Moses who saw him face to face. And yet, when he says, "Show me thy glory," he says, "You can't see my face." Because if you see my face, you get knocked out or whatever, you know. And so I'll travel by, and when I travel by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and you can see my back part. And yet at the same time, it says, I don't understand, but the best I can make out of that is this, that there's a sense in which we see the face of God, and we hear the voice of God, that in this mortal body that is very real, but it's not at its full power. You got it? It's just not at its full power. And so we find this place in front of him. We find this place where we get a glimpse of his eye and getting a glimpse of his heart. And that's what this seeking the face is all about. It's coming in alignment and with his heart and with his what's going on with God and what he wants to express to us. So, there's a sense in which we can see him. It's kind of like the kingdom of God. It's we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven." And we say, "His kingdom has come," and that's true. But not yet, not quite yet fully. It's coming more and more progressively. He is here now. His rule it has been expressed and is coming and is in our hearts and lives. But somebody say, there is more. There is more. And his face is revealed to us. His presence is revealed to us already in this service. But somebody say, there is more. There is more. There's more today. There's more as we continue in this service. There's more tonight, this evening. There'll be more tomorrow. There's always this sense of which there is more of God's face to be revealed. And how lovely is that face? How precious is that face? I've had dreams where I saw the Lord. I've had dreams where I saw his feet, but not his face. I've had dreams where I saw a person that I thought was the Lord, and I saw his face, but must have been in the lesser sense. I'm sure it was. Because when I saw him and saw his feet was all I could handle. Seeking the face of God. Point number one. Seeing the face of a person is a matter of well-being in our relationship. I just kind of got over a little bit of that. But as I, you know, when my wife's mad at me, and maybe vice versa, takes a little bit for eye contact. You know, you have those moments. You don't want them to be long. Can somebody say amen? Notice little children, when they're not happy, you start to correct them in some way. The head goes down. The eye contact is lost. Or, you know, they know that this is, you know, then you get their eye contact. Get it back so that they can see your heart in the correction. Get it back. There's something about that, isn't there? And we want the eye contact, even when we are corrected by our fathers, don't we sometimes? When our father gives us a little spanking, said, that was wrong, Chris. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. We can do this. So vital to our relationship. But there's times where you just know because you've sought the Lord, or maybe something you read in the Word, or something that as you were going through the day, God expressed His love, His heart, through some eye contact with you, and you said, oh, this is good. I am blessed of the Lord. We want to seek that His face so we can have that contact to Him that is real and personal. This is not Sunday morning religion. This is every day walking with Jesus. It's being with Him and experiencing Him. And none of us has a perfected relationship. Remember, that's why we need each other. Because it helps to round out our relationship and keep our relationship with Him in context and real. Because we can get in the unreal category real quick. So that's important. Number two. Oh, let me finish this up. Seeing His face is a matter of well-being in a relationship, a matter of closeness and presence. Okay, we want to be close to Him. A matter of expression and impression and knowing what's in His heart. We should realize that we can always come before the throne of grace boldly. Well, maybe we've just been a bad kid. You know, maybe we've just messed up. But that's exactly when we need to say, Lord, I know You love me. Say that with me. I know, Lord, I know You love me. Just come before Him and say, forgive me. I messed up. Cleanse me. Renew me. Let me see. Let me be in contact again. It's about getting past that, you know, I've got a bad attitude now. God corrected me, and I want what I want, and all my issues, you know? Let's get by that. So, number two, God may hide His face from us, and that's part of what I've been saying. Let me talk about the first reason God hides His face. Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, and He will not hear. Okay, this is particularly when you're not, you know, in the place where, okay, I messed up, please forgive me, God, you know, and we have a graduation on what scale. I did a 10 bad, I did a 1, whatever it was, but we have a tendency to do that. And so I messed up. Let me seek You and find You. Forgive me, wash me, cleanse me, renew me. So that's sometimes easy, but sometimes we are stubborn in saying, you know, I messed up. I want what I want. I'm going to stick to my guns. I've got an attitude about the way I feel God has treated me, et cetera, et cetera. He's done me wrong, you know. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to watch things on television I shouldn't watch. I'm going to talk the way I want to talk. I don't care what the Bible says. I'm going to find my will for my life, not necessarily God's will for my life. That's iniquity that will cause God to hide his face from you. And very often, we want what we want, but we're not happy with it when we get it because we have not found it in the face and grace of God. Sin. Okay, so let's turn our hearts from that. And there was two other examples where it seems like God hides his face from us. In Job 13, 24, where Job says, "Wherefore did you hide your face? And why do you hold me as your enemy?" Because he was sick, because there was a circumstance in his life. And, you know, there could be other things that are like sickness, but maybe not so, where there's a sense that, you know, God is high. I cry out to God, but I can't find him. And all of Job, there's just throughout the whole thing, he's trying to reach God and crying out to God. But part of it is how he's coming before God. He's demanding that God, you know, show him why he had boils all over his body. But there is this place in sickness that you can feel, because it's how you feel that makes it hard to connect with God. There may be other places that, you know, get our emotions messed up, maybe grief and other things that make it hard to feel the presence of God, make it hard for us to realize his face may be shining upon us. His eye might be on us as his people and as the one that loves us, loves him, but we can't feel it. And so we feel like God is hiding from me. And it's just hard to connect. And can I tell you what I think helps the most there? If we will find somebody to pray with us. And so somebody to touch us. But careful about the whole COVID thing. No, somebody to lay a hand. Somebody, you know, some other times that are similar like this are when we're in the midst of some kind of battle. Maybe it's a battle in the workplace. Maybe it's a battle in the family. Maybe, you know, and we've got our mind all focused on the issues. You know, and this is what's gone wrong here. This is what's gone wrong, and this is how it needs to be straightened out. And we're trying to solve problems. And we're in the midst of this battle, and the enemy's firing darts at us. You know, he's putting kind of doubts in our minds, and he's throwing things at us. So in the midst of that battle, sometimes it's hard when it's hard to see that face, and it's hard to keep that focus. And again, the same thing. Sometimes it's just somebody else to pray with you, you know. And I'm not against counseling, and counseling can be healthy. But counseling without prayer will never make it. Counseling without, it's when somebody prays for you. In my own life early on, there was a struggle in the church, and it was going on, and I was in the midst of a battle. And, you know, this had gone on for a couple months, and something had happened recent, and I was all about the battle. We lived over on Big Bend, and I'd always go up top of the hill, and there was a little track up there that Emma Long had. He was our landlord. And I'd go up there, and I'd seek the Lord. I'd walk around the track, look over the hills, and just seek the Lord. And I remember going up there and walking around that hill. Nada, nothing. It was just, I couldn't get through. But I had to get through. I had to see what God was saying to me. So I came back down, and if any thing got through, I don't know how, call Brother Selleck. No, don't know whether it was Judy said it or something came in my, I'll just call Brother Selleck. And I called him, and he said, why don't you just come over? And I went over to his office, told him about the whole situation, this and that and that. And I wasn't feeling any better. And he said, let's pray. And he talked about the situation. He told me, you know, gave me his wisdom. I wasn't feeling any better. He said, let's pray. Took my hand, and we began to seek the Lord together. And God showed up. God touched my heart. God helped me. And I don't even remember, you know, what we did or what happened. And I just remember the difference, how I felt when God was there. And I sensed that he had spoken and he had touched me and he had renewed me. And I was making contact with him, with his face. So get somebody that you trust, somebody that maybe you can unload to. Maybe you don't need to unload. Maybe you just need to pray with them. Say, this is the problem. Pray with me. So when we're wounded in heart, when we're sick, when we're in a battle, these sometimes it's hard to see his face. So get somebody. Get a Jonathan. Get somebody to just pray with. It could be your wife, your husband. It could be a good friend, a mentor. The devil wants to distract you from his face. The devil wants to get you away. And this battle goes on. Deepen your hunger and thirst for his presence. Be challenged to seek him. Number three. He delights to reveal his face. Now, after I've told you how he hides his face, he delights his. Sometimes when he hides his face, I'm going to give you the other way he might hide his face. In a little cat and mouse love relationship. Hide and seek. When he just hides his face enough for you to say, I'm going to spend another 10 minutes in prayer. I'm gonna search his word a little deeper. I'm gonna go a little bit farther. And you do, and there he is. And there's his smile. And there's his love. And just that little bit of cat and mouse. You know how it is in a love relationship. We do it with children. We play hide and seek. I'm gonna chase you. You know, and you're going to hide, and we do it in love relationships sometimes. Just that little bit of makes when you find them that much sweeter, isn't it? Doesn't it? Okay, so number three, he delights to reveal his face. And so when that child has hidden or you have hidden, and they find you, and you find them. Oh, it's so sweet. It's so fun. And everybody screams. Ah! That's the fun part of it. He delights to reveal himself. That's what the Bible is about. It's the revelation of God to man. Right? And so he wants us to know him. He wants us to make eye contact. He wants his voice to be heard. We don't, you know, some people worry so much about, I don't know if I'm hearing God. I don't know if I can hear. I try this, you know. Listen, just trust him to be the shepherd. It's the shepherd's job to make the voice hear his, or make the sheep hear his voice. Just relax. The more, if you get anxious about it, if you get worried about it or concerned about it, it's counterproductive. But if you just rest and say, I know he loves me, still your soul. Allow him to guide. Allow him to lead. It's what he does. Allow him to reveal himself to you. It's what he does. He loves to reveal himself. In Numbers 6, 22 through 27, we hear the priestly blessing. The Lord bless thee, the Lord keep thee, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel and I will bless them. This is what God wants to do for his people. I mean, the priestly blessing could have been, the Lord give you as many Cadillacs as you want. Back in that day, it would have been bulls and sheep or horses or whatever, chariots. The Lord bless you and give you a giant buck every year. The Lord bless you and give you as many fish as you want to catch. The Lord bless you and you can wear the best clothing and get all the best deals at the shops. The Lord bless. No, because that really doesn't make that much difference, does it? What makes the difference is the Lord bless you and cause his face to shine upon you because he loves you. Because he loves you. He wants the best for you. And everything else begins with that. Everything else centers around that because you live in the blessing and you live in peace as you have contact and connection with his face and his heart. And we get that wrong so often. We're about our daily business like that's not important and all the other stuff is. Weeding the garden, you know? Getting all our things done on our list. I was always a list writer, and I still am. I need to. My memory's not that good. but you know, sometimes the Lord lets me get done one thing, and sometimes he lets me get done a whole lot of things. He loves to reveal himself. That's what he wants, because he knows that's the center of your life, what's going on in your heart and in your spirit really controls and really makes fruitful all the other things when you're connected with him. But when you're not, that connection is not happening, things become unfruitful, unhealthy, and not fulfilling. He is the beginning and end of that. So he loves to reveal himself. That's why he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to life, because he wants all to know him, all to love him, all to be with him in heaven, all to experience him in this life, to be guided by him as a shepherd. That's why he wants us to witness, so he can reveal himself to people. People that are in darkness. People that are doing their own things. People that are bound in drugs. People that talk in the most unhealthy terms. It was people who have hatred in their hearts. People that want to kill other people. People that want to do damage to anybody and everybody. He wants them, so that he can reveal himself to them and change all that, because it's so hurtful, so damaging. Isaiah 54:8, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, that's all it takes, and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. He so wants to do that if we will seek him and turn from our ways and turn to his. Number four. There's only a few more of these. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." You know, a pure heart, what is that? I mean, sometimes with me that comes and goes. Pure, it is an undivided heart. Maybe a willingness to be purified. Not sure it means perfect. I've not been able to attain that all my life. I mean, on a consistent basis. Maybe a day or two. But I know that He loves me, and I know that He has revealed Himself to me, and to many of you, if not all of you, at some point. He says, "Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened." So what are we asking for? Stuff or for His face? What are we seeking? Stuff, answers to our problems, or Him? See, what are we knocking on a door? What are we trying to get in? We're trying to get into His throne room, aren't we? We're trying to get into His presence, before His throne, before His face, so that we can make eye contact from heart to heart, and we can know that God is for us and know that He's at work. I mean, those things, you get in a situation where you need to hear from God, and you hear from Him, and you may not, the problem might not be solved, nothing could be changed, but your heart is different, and you know where things are going when that happens. Blessed are the pure in heart. So we should want our hearts, we need to come and submit ourselves. Resist the devil and submit to God. And the devil will flee from you. Draw near to Him. Just keep drawing near. No matter how you feel, no matter what you've done, cleanse your hands and purify your heart. Get rid of the double mind. Just go to work on that thing. When it's not quite right as it should be, go to work on it and say, "Here I am, God. I'm submitting. I'm yielding. Show me. Touch me. Help me." This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek Him, who seek your face. Remember the story of Jacob when he sought God's face? Genesis 32 and 33. You can turn there if you want to. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to go over the highlights of what happened. Jacob was returning to the land of his father, Isaac, and you know the story. He had cheated Esau out of the birthright and out of the blessing. And Esau was enraged, and he said he was going to murder Jacob. Jacob goes away, I think, for 21 years. He comes back. Guess who's coming to meet him? Esau. Okay. Now, Jacob's had some meetings with God here and there. But he was a wheeler dealer. He knew how to do things. But God's blessing was on him. Because he sought the birthright and because he sought the blessing. But there's some things that are more important than the birthright and the blessing. Can somebody say amen here today? Some things are more, I'm going to say it again, some things are more important than the birthright and the blessing. Esau's coming, and he's got a band of 400 men, and Jacob doesn't have any means to defend himself. And so he sends out the least of the camels and flocks and herds first with his servants. Then he sends Leah and her children out to meet Esau, and then Rachel and her children over across this brook, I think it's of Jabbok, and he sends them across this brook, and he stays alone on the other side of the brook. That's when you meet with God. That's the way. I mean, we can do it as a people, and it can happen. But it's going to be, you know, it's going to be an individual thing as well. So he's alone, and a man came to see him, an angel of the Lord, and they begin to wrestle. I think that's wonderful. They begin to wrestle. Have you ever had a night of wrestling? Maybe you haven't wrestled like I have, but maybe you still had a night of wrestling with an angel of the Lord. You had something you were going to go through, and you were wrestling with your flesh. You were wrestling with the devil. You were wrestling with the world. You were, and God was right in the midst of it, and it was just going on. And this went on all night long. And Jacob went in for a single leg. At the end of it, he grabbed a hold of his leg. And he said, I'll not let you go till you bless me. Well, he already had the birthright. He already had the blessing. What blessing was he looking for now? And the angel reached down and smote his hip. That took care of the flesh. And from that day forward, he limped. But he revealed himself to him. And the angel said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, which means prince, because you have prevailed. With God. What did he prevail for? He had all the sheep, he had all the camels, he had all the stuff, he had the wife, he had the children, he had the birthright, he had the blessing. He prevailed to see the face of the Lord. And Jacob called that place Peniel, which means the face of God. And he was changed from a Jacob, a supplanter, a trickster, a maneuverer, to one who had prevailed with God as a prince. His character was changed because of the face, because a glimpse of the face of God. And once you get that, my friend, that's what you want all the time. Sometimes we just need more glimpses. Jacob, this is a generation that God is building in this day of a people that are thankful for the birthright, are thankful for the blessing, but they want the face above all. They want the face above all. So, in everything, small and great, seek the face of God. You got to write that one down. In everything, small and great, seek the face of God. In the small things, in the great things. I think the great things of my life, I'm better at the great things. Many of us are. The important things, the things we don't have enough for, we think we don't have enough for. For the small things, we think a lot of times, I got this one, God. Right? The other day, you know, and God's been teaching me that all my life, but I don't hear too well sometimes. I was so thankful the other day. It was the small stuff. I was praying in the morning, and just about every morning, very few mornings, it's very rare that I don't spend some time in a word and some time seeking the Lord. And I'd spent some time in a word and spent some time seeking the Lord, and I had to go. We had bought a house over on Lake Milton, and it was an investment property, and so had a bunch of stuff to do. It was small stuff. A bunch of small stuff. Lord, I just pray today, you would just help me to get these things done. Because you can, I had about six things that I needed to do. Judy had some stuff she did. Just go before us, Lord. Really help me. And I just, when I thought about it right then, I was happy. I prayed that. But I was happier later. And just one thing after another, you know, because one little thing in a job, how many of you know, all of a sudden stuff goes wrong and you can spend hours on something that should have taken you 5 or 10 minutes. And the Lord just went before me in such a, I wished I'd pray like that every day. The honest truth is, I don't always do it like I should because I forget about, okay, you got to do this. So small things, and great things. You know, to be born again, you got to seek his face. And he's got to respond. You've got to get his response. Because, you know you're saved because he's respond. Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The great things, that's the greatest thing right there, that you know God. The decisions in life, who shall I marry? Judy and I, when we were young, had a relationship, and we had started to see each other and spent a little bit of time together. She lived in Pine Grove, 4 hours away from where I lived in Clarion, and it's too long a story for me to tell you how it all happened, but just to tell you this, you know, I was starting to think, you know, I should marry this girl, and we were sitting together in her folks' place in the living room. They had gone to bed, and I was like 9 or 10 o'clock at night. I can't quite remember. And I started thinking about this. All of a sudden, we were talking, and I was getting nervous. I thought about it and maybe given some prayer to it at that point, but I was going to start talking to her about the possibility of marriage. But I didn't want to go there. And I just found myself getting nervous. And in the midst of that, I just said, Judy, I need to go take a walk. And so I did. And I don't know how long it was. It was maybe, I'm sure it was 45 minutes. An hour, something like this, and I walked down a little road beside her place and out by a bridge and spent some time out by a stream. I said, Lord, is this you? I got to make sure this is you. I've got to know. This is a big thing. I don't want to be wrong about this. I've messed relationships up with girls big time for a long time, and I told you I did not want to date another girl till it was the one I married. And here I am. I need to check with you again. Is this you? And as I prayed, I think I found the face of the Lord and the blessing of God and the assurance in my heart. This is the one. When I got that, I turned around and I walked back. We started talking about it. I didn't ask her yet. But we started, I talked to her. I said, I think, we should think about marriage, And that is, besides being born again, that's a singular most blessing. I think of it every day. What a blessing she is to my life. Every time I eat. What a blessing. How good is God. How he loves to reveal himself. And I could tell you a zillion more things, but time doesn't. Times where God has just spoken to my heart on things great and things small, and I don't deserve it. Sometimes when I wasn't even seeking, he would reveal himself. But to seek him and find him and to see his face, all things great and small, we should seek him. Don't you want to? Don't you want to? Whitney, could you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just begin. Let's change our positions. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you want, I want to just pray some. Let's just begin to pray. Let's be with him. You might want to come forward here. But let's just be with him. In the midst of being with everybody else, let's be with him this morning. Just find your way around the altar. Begin to stand. Maybe you want to kneel where you are. But let's just begin to say, here I am, Lord. There might be something on your heart today that you've been struggling with, something you've been going through. But listen to me. Put that aside for this moment. And say, Lord, first you. Because what I have found that God mostly solves my problem. He mostly reveals things, what I should do, after he's shown me his face, after his presence is clear to my life, after we've been talking, after I've been praising, after I found him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you that you reveal yourself to us. Reveal yourself to your people today, I pray. Reveal yourself to people that are going through stuff. But what they need right now is contact with their Heavenly Father. They need your presence. They need your touch. They need your grace in their lives. Who draw near to us, Lord. Draw near to us. Draw near to us. And we will draw near to you. Draw us. Draw us. Draw our hearts to you. Draw our hearts to you. We need you more than anything else. We need the light of your eye. The smile of your face upon us, upon our hearts. We submit ourselves. We submit ourselves to you. We ask your forgiveness, O God. Cleanse us from things in our hearts and our minds that shouldn't be there. Move aside. Move them aside. We cast them away. We cast them away from us. We want you. We want you first, before other things. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Reveal the Father. Reveal the Father to us. Give our hearts hunger and thirst for your presence. Thank you, Lord. For some of you here today, you have a hard time getting the desire going, getting the hunger and thirst for his presence going. But I'll tell you this, the more you seek him, the more you find him, and the more you find him, the more you want to seek him. That's why times like tonight, times like this moment are so important. Just being in church and stirring the heart. Stirring the heart. We praise you, Father. We praise you. Holy, holy, holy. New hungers, Lord. Give us new hungers. Give us new times of finding you. Give us seeing eyes and hearing ears.
He is here. He is here today. He is here in this moment. If you're here this morning and you've had a battle for any of the reasons that I mentioned, or maybe some reasons that I haven't mentioned, a battle getting into His presence, a battle with seeing His face, and you need somebody to pray with you, would you raise your hand this morning? Would you raise your hand if it's you? This is something public, so just be aware of that, because I'm going to have somebody pray with you, whether it's me or somebody else. If you're here today, you've been in a battle for any reason, you just need somebody to pray with you. Anybody? Okay. Okay, good. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Your presence is good. Your presence is good.
Clean hands, give us pure hearts, let us not lift our souls to another, give us clean hands, oh God, give us pure hearts. In the light of His glory.
Isn't his presence good? So good. So good to be in his presence. Thank you, Lord, for being here today. Bless your people. Bless your people, Lord. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. And give you peace and joy. And give you his presence and his smile and his goodness. The Lord bless you.